www.thebrandingcompany.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Ed Clancy Show on WGSO 990 AM and at WGSO.com. Join in the conversation. It's a free call on the North Shore at 661-2929 and on the South Shore, 556-9696. Now, here's your host, the looming legend, the nearly famous WGSO Zone, Ed Clancy.
Welcome to the WGSO Zone. I am Ed Clancy, and Dania J is here with us today. Hi, Dania.
Hey, Ed.
Good. Had a good weekend, did you?
Lovely.
Have we got our Katrina cottage yet?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Anxiously awaiting.
You put a lot of physical work getting ready for that, huh?
Yeah, and I still have lots to do.
Yeah. Out there driving the bulldozer?
No, it wasn't. It was a bobcat.
Oh, okay. No, they're in Charlotte, aren't they? I thought they were in Charlotte.
Oh, no.
Do you know what this day?
No.
Oh, today on the Clancy Show, we're going to have a lady who needed a transplant for her husband, and it saved his life, but it took her brother's life to do it. Mm. And I'm going to talk to Cheryl Hills and some people from the Louisiana Organ Procurement Association. And also today, we're going to talk to the father of the Superdome, Mr. Dave Dixon, woo-hoo, who will be talking to us from his North Shore home. By the way, The Saints, the Superdome, and the Scandal, An Insider's Perspective by Dave Dixon, the man who, well, is basically given credit for inventing the Superdome. Let's talk to you about this day in history, okay? It was on this day that a very famous message was sent by Alexander Graham Bell. All right?
Mm-hmm.
A very famous statement was made. And do you know what that statement is, Dania?
Hello?
No. Hello didn't come along until later. They actually had to think about what to say when answering the phone.
What were their options? Clear, or what could it have been?
Clear minds came up. I don't have the research on that in front of me, but I do know this after having lived so many years, that it didn't just happen. Hello didn't just happen. There were all sorts of other things they used to say. And we'll give Google those and find them out. But there are a lot of things they used to say before hello came along. Well, no, this famous statement uttered by Alexander Graham Bell.
And it was?
It was. You want to get that, Watson? It might be the phone.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't that. It was, Mr. Watson, come here, I want you. Okay, those were the first words spoken into the invention. And do you know how that happened? No, it wasn't that. Don't
how?
Give me that.
I'm not giving you
Don't
anything.
Give me anything untoward on this radio show. It was an accident. Something had happened. He was still in the middle of making the telephone and trying to figure out the different fibers that would work and the different, pieces of thing that would vibrate properly and make a phone thing work. And I guess he must have, I think he spilled something. And Watson was in the next room on the other phone. He was on the other phone. Well, they had to have two phones. And, I mean, you can't just invent the phone with one phone. So, well, they had to. So,
well, yeah.
He spilled something, as I recall, in my school days. And he said, Mr. Watson, come here. I want you. It was like, I guess it might have been acid or something that he spilled. And Mr. Watson didn't hear him through the door. He heard him through the phone. He said, and he came back into the room. And he said, you rang or something like that. And that's how it happened. That's how it happened. It wasn't Watson. You want to get that. It might be the phone. So there you have it. Those are the first words spoken into the invention that Mr. Bell had created on this day, March 10th, 1876. So elsewhere, in 1941, the Brooklyn Dodgers announced that their players would wear batting helmets during the 1941 baseball season. General manager Larry McPhail predicted that all baseball players would soon be wearing the new devices, and he was right, but it wasn't that soon. I don't think it was 1941 that the whole league went to it, but he gave it. There was only one man. I got to Google this one, but there was one guy, and if Jude's listening or Kenny's listening, they can come running in here and tell me. One guy who did die being beaned by a baseball. And he was not obviously wearing a helmet, and I don't remember his name, but there apparently was only one person who died because of that. 1956, Julie Andrews was 19 years old this night when she made her American TV debut. She appeared with Bing Crosby and Nancy Olson in the musical adaptation of Maxwell Anderson's High Tor. Can you imagine that? High Tor, number one. And who watched it when it wasn't a musical? Okay? I mean, it was a play called High Tor. Who would have gone to see that anyway? Well, 1956, Julie Andrews made her debut. What a very talented lady she turned out to be. And in 1985, now somebody's going to have to help me this. I never knew how this guy pronounced his name. Dick Motta or Dick Motta of the Dallas Mavericks. Jude's not even listening to us, so somebody can call us at 985-661-2929. I dare you to Google that one. 985-661-2929 or 504-556-9696, a service of Sprint together with Nextel. And tell me, is it Mota or Mata of the Dallas Mavericks became the fourth head coach in the NBA to win 700 games in a career as the Mavs defeated the New Jersey Nets 126-113 on this day in 1985. The three other winningest coaches in the NBA up to that time were Red Auerbach, who had won 938 games, Jack Ramsey, 733 games, and Gene Shue, 717 games. So it's either Moto Mata. You say Tomoto, I say Tomata. Also on this day in 1885, let's do some birthdays here. Barry Fitzgerald was born. Now, who is he? He's the Irish guy you see in all those old movies. Okay. And he was in Going My Way, Bringing Up Baby. I believe he was in The Bells of St. Mary's, but I'm not sure. But, of course, he was in the famous Irish movie The Quiet Man, starring John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara, which will be seen 24/7 probably somewhere through the next week, somewhere around the world, I guarantee you. And we'll have more birthdays and things, but that's later on in the show, and we'll also probably have an editorial later on in the show. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Cheryl Hills and Lana Stevens, and they are with something called LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Association, and they're going to talk about how we do this and how they are procured. And there's been some things in the news about doctors who have, declared people dead just because they want the organs. Well, they don't do that here. We're going to talk more about that and her very interesting and special story on how it saved her husband's life on The Clancy Show, WGSO 990 AM.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees, having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars. Now, this isn't bankruptcy or one of those consumer credit counseling deals, and it's not a high-interest consolidation loan. It's Credit Card Relief. We have an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. We provide a complete credit analysis and free consultation with a local participating program attorney. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. Call Credit Card Relief. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free and the relief is real. 866-580-9999. Not available in all states.
And now a message from your local North Shore electrical contractor.
Did you know that Dixieland Forest Electrical Contractors holds St. Tammany Parish License Number 1? Dixieland is proud of its role in the development of this great parish over 25 years. Their qualified staff prides itself on providing friendly and professional service. Dixieland Forest Corporation has two generations working together ready to meet your electrical needs. Call Dixieland now at 985-892-3210. That's 892-3210. North Shore Convoy of Hope starts now. Thousands of residents from across the area will receive hope in the form of free groceries, health services, and activities for the children. Guests will also have the opportunity to hear the gospel and receive prayer for personal needs. North Shore Convoy of Hope, Saturday, April 26th at Fontainebleau State Park, Highway 190 and Highway 1089 in Mandeville. North Shore Convoy of Hope needs volunteers to help set up, so go to convoyofhope.org to sign up today.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free, and it'll make my acne disappear? Sounds a little too good to be true.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure Proactive will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before, and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. But there is one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-344-2294. You have beautiful skin under your acne. Let Proactive prove it. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-344-2294. That's 1-800-344-2294.
The man, the myth, the legend. He said Clancy. And you've got him right here on WGSO 990 AM and on the web at WGSO.com. To speak with Ed, it's a free call, 661-2929 North Shore or 556-9696 on the South Shore.
We are back on the Clancy Show. And the other day on Jefferson Journal, I had a chance to meet two very delightful ladies talking about, unfortunately, something not very delightful, and that is organ procurement. And joining me now from the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, or LOPA, first of all, Lana Stevens. Hi, Lana. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing so fine. Cheryl Hills, are you there?
I'm here. How are you today?
I'm so fine. I cannot stand it. But it's... life is a very strange thing, is it not?
Oh, yes, it is. It's a very strange thing. It brings on many changes.
Yeah. And Cheryl, we're going to get to your story in just a minute. But first, Lana, I know that you and Cheryl are both what are called communicators, is that it?
Community educators.
Community educators.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got that right. And now, LOPA is basically a deal statewide, or does it not?
Yes, we the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency is the federally designated but private nonprofit federally designated organ recovery agency for the state of Louisiana. We're the only one in Louisiana that recovers organ and tissue for transplant purposes from deceased donors. So other states have what's called OPOs, organ procurement organizations. Some of them have more than one depending on their population. Louisiana is a smaller populated state, so we only have... It's just us. It's just LOPA.
Uh-huh. And now, I asked you a kind of a dumb question in the TV show, but I'm going to ask it to you again. Does one have to be deceased in order to donate in your organization?
Well, no, it's not a dumb question. It's a very, very good question.
In your organization.
Very good question. In order to be an organ donor through LOPA, it's a deceased donor. However, there are living-related donors, such as a kidney donor or a portion of a liver, that can be done through any transplant center. If anybody was interested in signing up in donating organ while they're still alive, they would contact their transplant center in order to set that up. However, we at LOPA only recover from deceased donors.
Okay, now how did you get interested in LOPA?
How did I get interested in LOPA? I just kind of stumbled upon it, and it was in the right spot at the right time, and had no idea that it would really affect me the way it has. I thank God every day that I did find this job at LOPA, because I absolutely love what I'm doing.
How did it affect you?
How did it affect me? I realized how short life is. I realized how to live every day to the best.
Mm-hmm.
I've met so many wonderful people through LOPA, recipients, donor families, employees. I really feel blessed to be experienced with it.
And you've been in on some life-saving stuff.
been in on life-saving stuff. What
yeah,
do you mean?
I mean, lives have been saved because of you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Up to nine per person.
I really try to depend on thinking to myself every day when I go to work, I'm trying to save almost 100,000 people's lives. So that's why I have to go to work today.
That's why you are needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost 100,000 people waiting nationwide, almost 1,700 in Louisiana alone. So my job depends on those people.
I'm like
those people depend on me. So
now, assuming I am totally healthy,
absolutely.
When I die,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make any sense, does it? But I guess assuming that I, you know, generally am in good health when I got hit by the train.
Okay.
How many lives can I save?
One healthy organ donor can actually save up to nine lives. Up to nine lives. And that's through a heart, two lungs, a liver can be split, two kidneys, and a pancreas, and a small intestine. So
wow.
Up to nine lives can be saved through organ donation. With tissue donation being another possibility, that tissue donor can actually enhance the lives for possibly up to 50 people.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. And that's through different tissues such as heart valves, corneas can help restore the sight for up to two people.
Uh-huh.
Ligaments and tendons can be used for sports medicine. Veins and arteries can be used for cardiovascular surgeries.
Okay, now what happens when you get a phone call? I mean, what gets set in motion and what happens?
Well, by law, every hospital in Louisiana is required to call in all deaths to us at LOPA. And at that point, we evaluate that patient and access the donor registry to find out if that patient wasn't in the donor registry and go from there as far as evaluation of that patient to see if he or she is a potential donor organ and or tissue.
But you have to keep track of how many patients?
It depends on how many deaths. So, I mean, every death is called into us and,
uh-huh.
and we evaluate it from there. So basically every death that takes place in a hospital in the state of Louisiana.
And, okay, so for each death that comes is reported to you, you immediately check some kind of list?
Yes.
And what's that list?
And that's the Louisiana Donor Registry, which a lot of people may be in already.
Uh-huh.
Maybe by saying yes at the Office of Motor Vehicles. Some people might have a heart imprinted on their driver's license. They may have signed up on a registry form at one of our community events, or they may have gone online at DonateLifeLouisiana.org,
mm-hmm.
DonateLifeLA.org, and signed up to become a donor there.
Okay, and now do you go all the way down the list, or you just go to the sickest ones at the top? Are the sickest ones at the top?
Well, what happens is once we find a home for those organs and we place those organs, we generate a list from the United Network for Organ Sharing, and they spit that list right back at us and let us know who nationwide is best to receive that next organ. So that list is sent to us by UNOS.
All right, so
all we do is give the information of the donor, and they give us the list back.
So Louisiana, it does not have preference?
It depends. For example, a heart. A heart only lasts 4 to 6 hours outside of my body to yours, for example.
Really?
Yeah, so we have to place it within the closest time frame that we can get it to. We're obviously not going to place it across the United States because time-wise we wouldn't be able to do it. However, on the other end of the spectrum, the kidneys have up to 72 hours outside of the human body, so we can place the kidneys with whoever matches it the best and whoever's sickest on the list nationwide.
Would an entire liver ever get transplanted?
Absolutely.
Okay.
An entire liver or portions of a liver.
But you don't have to die to donate a kidney.
You don't have to die to donate one kidney, and you don't have to die to donate a portion of a liver.
Portion of a liver.
Yes, because what we know about the liver is the liver regenerates itself, so it'll grow back in a living donor.
Wow. That's very interesting.
It's very, very interesting, the life of organ donation.
Yeah. Cheryl, I want to talk to you for a second here before we take a break, and then when we come back, I want to get your entire story, okay?
Okay.
What I want to talk to, and you know, Lana said that this LOPA has changed her life. I guess your life was totally changed anyway before you got into it, but what's it like to be in the position you are to be able to help people?
Well, I think what has happened to me, in the beginning, I didn't know if it was going to work for me because of the grief. But then I realized the more I shared my story, I was helping other people.
Uh-huh.
In our community, there's so many in the community that are suffering from kidney disease and not able to talk about it. We have a lot of people on dialysis, and the waiting list is growing each year. So it's been helpful not only to me and my family, but also to others in the community to learn more about organ and tissue donation and LOPA.
I got a good question for you. What is the, they have top 10 countdowns, right? What is the number one organ transplant? What is the kidney?
The kidney.
Okay.
That's
far and away, right?
Yes, we have more on the waiting list for kidneys right now than ever before.
Wow. And there have been news stories recently about doctors, I guess there was one doctor who's being investigated, I think it's in Louisiana, but I'm not sure, for, perhaps declaring someone dead prematurely.
No, that actually took place in California.
Did it? Okay.
California,
yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you so much. But that doesn't happen a lot, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, the integrity of it all, I can't understand why would a doctor do that. You know, we're trying to save lives, not hurt anyone.
Yeah.
And we're hearing that a lot across the nation, stories being told, especially in foreign countries, where there's a need just like it is in the United States, but it's illegal to kill someone for it. Donation.
And is declaring someone dead prematurely the same thing as killing him?
Oh, yes.
Okay, we're talking to Cheryl and Lana. Do not go away on the Clancy Show. We'll get Cheryl's story after the news at the bottom of the hour from ABC and from WGSO, 990 forever and ever AM.
Griot's Restaurant on Florida Street in Mandeville has a terrific and satisfying express lunch daily Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hamburger steaks, seafood pasta, and veal parmesan. Grilled chicken, Caesar salad, po' boys, and more. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, enjoy the best single bite on the North Shore. Griot's barbecue oysters, only half price. On your birthday, eat free with a valid ID. Call by February 12th for Valentine reservations. Griot's open Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Griot's for a delicious treat.
This is Pam Egan, president of the Junior League of Greater Covington. Join us for a celebration of pure imagination on Sunday, April 27th from 6 to 10 at the Casting Center in Mandeville to benefit the Children's Museum. A night of great music, fun, and entertainment. Tickets are on sale at Huntington Learning Center and The Spokesman, Egan Medical Equipment and St. Romain Interiors, and Habanos in Slidell. Visit jlgc.net. Sponsored by St. Tammany Parish, North Shore Kiwanis, Junior League of Greater Covington, and WGSO 990 AM. Imagine a children's museum in St. Tammany.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. You can do this with just the money you already make and actually improve your credit score. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have more than a million others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have or how much money you make. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, so you can permanently insulate your credit status. Let me send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt.
Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape. Call 1-800-933-0939. 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
WGSO 990 AM is giving our listeners a chance to win $9,990 with a WGSO Cash Vault. Be listening every day, and WGSO will be telling you where we'll be broadcasting from. Show up and enter any six-digit code, and if it matches, you win. $9,990. Just like that. With a station that makes you a winner. WGSO 990 AM.
The governor of New York, according to the New York Times, has told his staff that he has been involved in a prostitution ring. Governor Eliot Spitzer, who ran on a campaign of bringing ethics back to government, is scheduled to make an announcement any time now. We get more live from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Chuck, the New York Times reports on its website Governor Spitzer has told his senior staff he's been involved in the prostitution ring. Spitzer is expected to have an announcement from his office here in Manhattan shortly. Last week, prosecutors here in New York arrested four people in connection with a high-priced call girl service, but it's not immediately clear whether Spitzer is involved in that. Spitzer's married, three kids. He gained national prominence fighting Wall Street fraud as New York Attorney General, but his first term as governor has been a struggle, Chuck.
ABC's Aaron Katursky live. Spitzer is a first-term Democrat who has had a difficult year of scandal and setbacks, but in recent weeks, he seemed to have rebounded. Again, Governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer, according to the Times, has told his staff he had been involved in a prostitution ring. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Now, it's time for the local news from the WGSO newsroom.
990 AM News. Good afternoon. I'm Jude Young. In the news today, jury selection was delayed until tomorrow in the murder trial of David Bonds, a New Orleans teenager accused of gunning down musician Deneral Shavers as he drove his family home in December of 2006. A defense motion was granted for one more day in Orleans Parish Criminal District Court. Prosecutors telling WGSO News the trial is expected to last all week, with jury selection starting tomorrow. Meanwhile, in Baton Rouge, a number of key financial matters will be decided soon as the state legislature moves into its first full week of a special legislative session, the second called this year by Governor Bobby Jindal. Here's more from WGSO correspondent Dave Brannan.
Among other things, within the next 3 weeks, lawmakers will decide how to spend a $1 billion budget surplus. Jindal told the legislature last night that he wants most of the money, more than $500 million, to go towards transportation and coastal restoration projects.
This investment fully funds all the projects in the state's priority program and will also aid in the repair of dozens of state and parish bridges to prevent their closure.
Jindal also wants lawmakers to cut business taxes by more than $360 million to help lure more businesses to the state. Dave Brannan, Baton Rouge.
On the North Shore, as health care costs continue to spiral out of control, the Mandeville City government tells WGSO they're in the midst of a delicate balancing act as they try to maintain benefits for city employees.
Rising health care costs are forcing Mandeville to make some painful adjustments to their health care package, but even with these changes, officials say they still have an excellent health plan.
We're one of the better packages that are out there, but the copays go up when you walk into the doctor's office. It used to be 10. I think now it's going to be 20. The benefits are above and beyond what other communities have.
That was Mayor Eddie Price. He told WGSO that the plan also had good coverage for dental work and that the vast benefits allow the city to retain its employees. So in a world of $4 Tylenol and other expensive medical procedures, Mandeville is trying to serve its employees. Joe Luna, 990 WGSO News.
Two important meetings will be held in the New Orleans area tonight. The Army Corps of Engineers holding an open-to-the-public meeting in New Orleans East to update the status of improvements on the 100-year hurricane storm damage and risk reduction system. It'll be held at 6:30 in the Parish Hall at Mary Queen of Vietnam Church on Dwyer Boulevard. And in Lakeview, a forum sponsored by the Neighborhoods Partnership Network and the Metropolitan Area Committee will be held from 6:30 to 8 at St. Dominic's Knights of Columbus Hall on Vicksburg Street off of Harrison Avenue. The event, part of a 13-forum series staged across the city to get ideas from residents about how best to express their views and concerns to city officials. This is WGSO News.
From the WGSO Weather Center, here's your weather forecast with meteorologist Mike Jansen of ABC 26.
You can probably get away with some long sleeves or a light jacket today. Highs are expected in the upper 60s under mostly cloudy skies. But don't forget that umbrella. We may see a few spotty showers with us during the afternoon and as we head into the evening. It looks like our chance for rain does start to go up overnight. We'll watch for scattered showers, maybe even an isolated thunderstorm mixed in. Other than that, we're going to be cloudy with lows in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Mike Jansen on WGSO 990 AM and WGSO.com.
Surprise, surprise, we're going to get warmer than that. Already 70 degrees in Slidell and 71 in Mandeville on the South Shore. 68 degrees at Armstrong International. Also 68 reporting from the French Quarter. Stay tuned to more of the Ed Clancy Show here on WGSO. I'm Jude Young, 990 AM News.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, it's the Ed Clancy Show on WGSO 990 AM and on the web at WGSO.com. Give Ed a call, won't you, at 661-2929 on the North Shore or 556-9696 on the South Shore.
We are back on the Clancy Show from WGSO, and we are talking with two delightful young ladies, Cheryl Hills and Lana Stevens, and they are with the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, or LOPA, and you can get to them through LOPA.org, and we'll also tell you more about how to sign up for the donation thing. And Cheryl Hills, I asked Lana how she got involved, and it was just, I guess she cared for people and she wanted.
It was fate.
It was fate.
It was fate. Yes,
so,
it was fate.
But the deal is, fate was really involved with you, was it not?
You know, it was. It's been
an amazing life here at LOPA. You know, after my husband had the seizure and began dialysis, it was a learning process. And then after his death, after 3 years in volunteer work with LOPA and then not knowing what I was going to do, here I am almost 6 years as a permanent employee at LOPA. So life changes for you. You know, one direction you think you're going and all of a sudden there's another street for you.
But when your husband was sick, you didn't know anything about LOPA, did you?
No.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I didn't find out about LOPA until after the transplant, really.
Tell people what happened with your husband.
In 1993, he had a seizure. He was suffering from high blood pressure. The seizure blew out both kidneys. He went into renal failure. Within 6 hours, he began dialysis, and that went on for 5 years. And we were on the waiting list for a kidney. In 1997, we got word that my brother Lionel Brazil was out jogging that day and had a headache. That afternoon, he went to the emergency room at Methodist Hospital, and we discovered he had suffered an aneurysm. On Sunday morning, he passed away. And from there, the journey began. We made a decision after being approached from one of the LOPA volunteers and coordinators there that my brother had signed up to become an organ donor, and we consented to organ donation.
So you had no idea your brother had signed up to be an organ donor?
No, we did not.
And you were waiting for 4 years, right?
Well, really 5 years. He began dialysis in 1993.
Uh-huh.
It was 1997. Yeah, because he became part of the waiting list in 1994.
Yeah.
So that wait, it seemed like a lifetime.
So all of a sudden, and it went on like 4 or 5 years, and
yes.
There was nothing happening, and all of a sudden, your brother passed away.
He passed away, and we decided that afternoon, it took us about 3.5 hours to decide on, should we make this decision, should we do this? After all, we knew my husband needed a kidney, but it's so important, and we talk about this every day, Len and I, how important it is to discuss organ donation with your family. It is an important decision to make, and it's important for your family to know your wishes. Because my family, even though Roderick needed that kidney, we took 3.5 hours to go over the whole process. And when we realized this was something that he wanted, it made life so much easier, and we were happy to very happy about it.
So it was 3.5 hours before you found out your brother was a donor? Was on the donor list?
It was 3.5 hours before my family said yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a large family. I'm number one of nine.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure that everyone was on the same page
me. Yeah, yeah. And, but while you were during that 3 hours, you guys knew that your by that time that your brother had been on the donor list?
Yeah. Matter of fact, when we were approached by the LOPA coordinator, we were informed that he signed up to become an organ donor.
Right, okay.
And, you know, after the 3.5 hours, we realized he signed up, so he wanted to help somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made so much sense, you know, once we got over the grief.
Yeah.
You know, that portion of the grief and realized, wait a minute, he signed up to become an organ donor.
So then he
wanted to help somebody.
Then the operation took place.
On Monday, my husband received one of the kidneys and 4 other people in 3 states.
Now, here's something. When a death is reported, that goes on a list. How come your brother's kidney did not get on a list for a nationwide distribution, and how did you get that kidney, or is that part of the rules?
Well, what Cheryl's family did was something called direct donation.
Uh-huh.
Basically, what it is if a patient is on the waiting list, as Roderick was, Cheryl's husband was, that family of the potential donor, which was Cheryl's brother, can make the decision to directly donate it to someone that they know of on the waiting list. Well, at the time, Cheryl's husband was on the waiting list, so they did what was called direct donation, providing everything matched up. Well, fortunately, everything matched up between Cheryl's brother and Cheryl's husband. So he was able to receive his brother-in-law's kidney.
Okay, now technically, what was your brother's name?
My brother named Lionel Brazil Jr.
Okay. Technically, Lionel, did he know about your husband's situation?
Yes, he did.
And he could have, if you had known before, way before, years before, could he have donated at that time?
Oh, yes, he, yes. Oh, yes.
And so what's the situation there?
Well, you know, a lot of people, and including my family at the time, because I've learned so much working here at LOPA, but prior to that, you know, a lot of people don't understand the donation process. And Lana mentioned it, you know, how many, you know, we can have one person save up to nine lives.
Right.
And you can be a living donor. People didn't know about that. We didn't talk much about that. We're talking about it now.
So maybe he didn't.
And we're seeing more of it now, but it wasn't discussed in my family.
I got you. So he may not have known that he could do that.
Correct.
Well, secondly, if, you know, now that we know it, I guess everybody that's healthy walking around can feel guilty because they're not passing out one of their kidneys every day, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this, Ed, that. What? We have a lot of people now stepping up to the plate saying, I want to help somebody.
Really?
We have family members. I'm talking about not only Louisiana, across this nation.
Uh-huh.
People helping other people.
Yeah.
The first year I worked at LOPA, I met a lady who said, I would like to donate my kidney to somebody.
Yeah.
And I directed her to the transplant center. This was someone I met out in the community. When she found out, she wanted to help somebody.
Well, why
she
don't?
She knew at that point she had two healthy kidneys and she could live a healthy life. With one.
That is incredible. Now, why doesn't LOPA deal with living people?
That's through the transplant center because it's something that has to be matched up with that transplant patient.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that would rather be gone through those transplant doctors who understand the process a little bit better. And
but there's no living organ transplant agency like yourself.
No, not an agency. Like I said, it would go through the transplant center.
Right. And are they just as visible as you guys are?
I'm sorry to hear.
Are they just as visible as you guys are, as well known as LOPA is?
Oh, yes. All the transplant
centers. I'm sure.
We have Osher. We have Tulane here in the city.
Okay.
And throughout this state, there's transplant centers. But Led and I are a little bit different.
Needless to say,
we're a little different. We are community educators. We're out in the schools,
right?
The colleges, the churches. We're on television with you, on the radio with you.
Uh-huh.
Wherever we're needed, we're going to go. We want to make sure that our community is aware of organ donation. We want to make sure there is a need. And I want people to understand, we're not talking only of death. We're talking about life. We're talking about saving lives because there's close to 100,000 people waiting in the United States, just over 1,700 in Louisiana alone. So there's a need.
Yeah, we're talking with Lana and Cheryl from LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. The good news, the bad news was that her husband had both his kidneys blown out in a transplant, in a stroke or a seizure. That was the bad news. The good news was that he was able to get on a list. The bad news was that the only way he got his kidney was for her brother to die. The good news was there was a transplant operation, and her husband lived, but there's bad news. We'll get to that when we come back on The Clancy Show, WGSO 990, forever and ever AM.
When your power goes out, it's hard, especially if it's during a stormy night and you're left in pitch black. That's why it's important to get ready before the next storm and power failure. This is Bob from Sea Crane. Like you, I've been through my share of power failures, and I know how frustrating it is to find dead batteries in your equipment. At Sea Crane, we put together a special calamity kit that includes three high-quality, no-battery-needed, wind-up pieces of equipment. The first is a durable LED lantern, great for general lighting and safely moving about a room. A wind-up LED flashlight for finding the ladle and checking on the soup. And an AM-FM weather radio for NOAA updates and local news. The high-quality calamity kit is what you need to make dinner in the dark and keep informed of the news.
To learn more about preparing for disasters, or to order your calamity kit for just $119.95, visit ccradio.com or give Sea Crane a call at 800-522-8863. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
at Piper Flooring and Interiors. You name it, we got it. Laminate and tile as low as 89 cents per square foot, and wood as low as 284 per square foot. With a wide selection of carpet and vinyl, Piper's Flooring also offers personal design services and have a beautiful showroom. Piper's Flooring and Interiors is located in the Old Slidell Outlet Mall off Old Spanish Trail. Piper's Flooring and Interiors, great prices with even better floors.
Tobacco Biz on Highway 190 in Slidell has discount cigarettes, tobacco, and cigars. With a wide selection of wines and your favorite liquor at Tobacco Biz on Highway 190 in Slidell, you'll find that they're open 7 days a week just for you. From Special Reserve Crown Royal to Chardonnay, from Bud Light to Heineken, you'll find it all at Tobacco Biz on Highway 190 in Slidell. Discount cigarettes, tobacco, and discount cigars. 7 days a week only at Tobacco Biz on Highway 190 in Slidell.
He's a legend in his own mind, and he's waiting for you to speak yours. To join in the conversation with Ed Clancy, call 661-2929 on the North Shore or 556-9696 on the South Shore.
WGSO News Time is 1:47. Dave Dixon tells things about the Saints and the Superdome that will surprise everyone. His scandal is a riveting, fascinating story of how a great Louisiana governor, John McKithen, nearly became president of the United States in 1975. Want to know more about that? Stay tuned to the Ed Clancy Show. We're going to talk with Dave Dixon next hour, author of The Saints, the Superdome, and the Scandal, an insider's perspective from the father of the Superdome. That's next hour. It's 1:48 on WGSO, 990 AM. We're talking with Cheryl Hills and Lana Stevens of LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. And Lana, by the way, what's a good phone number for people to call if they want to just call on the phone?
Local phone number is 837-3355.
Uh-huh.
That's 504.
Right.
Or you can call our 1-800 number, which is 800-521-GIVE.
Okay.
800-521-4483.
Okay.
And we will be glad to direct you in any way we can help you with.
And that website again?
The website is www.donatelifela.org.
Donate Life, Louisiana, or L.A.
L.A., yes, which is...
Yeah, yeah. .org, okay.
And that'll direct you right to our donor registry page. It's so simple to sign the donor registry form. It's simply your name, address, and date of birth.
Okay, you don't have to physically sign it?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it is, you know... It's very easy to do. It takes less than 5 minutes.
You can also do it. You can also do it when you get your driver's license.
Yes,
right?
When you go get your driver's license, the OMV employee should ask you, "Do you want to become an organ donor?" As simple as that. A simple yes or no answer will put you in the donor registry or not.
And what's on your? I'm getting my license out here.
Okay.
What's on your license after that?
On your license, they will imprint a little red heart.
A red heart.
Towards the bottom of your driver's license.
You know what?
You have a red heart?
I got a red heart.
All right.
I bet you didn't even know it.
I didn't know it.
You see, everybody listening, well, take out your license.
I must have known it
to see if you have your red heart.
I must have known it at the time.
Well, you must have consented to it, sure. And underneath the red heart, it'll say donor, and that that places you into our donor registry.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You don't want my right eye, though.
Oh, yeah?
So, no. You'd have to do a cataract operation on it, I think. At any rate,
That's okay.
Yeah, how does that work? If somebody's got an eye that's got problems
organ. For people that are blind due to corneal damage, uh-huh. Someone with glasses or contact lenses can still be a donor because that's a heck of a lot better than being completely blind.
Yeah. On my left eye, I had LASIK done. That still can be donated?
I'm not sure about that. We do work closely with the Eye Bank with Baton Rouge Regional Eye Bank and Northwest Lions Eye Bank. And those are all Louisiana eye banks, and they're the ones that recover the eyes and corneas. But I'm pretty certain that a LASIK patient cannot donate.
Oh, okay. But my other
There's plenty other patients that can. We always say it's so important, don't rule yourself out to sign up to become an organ donor.
Well, I could give my right eye then because that didn't have the LASIK.
Okay. We'll take it.
That's right. Well, here's the deal. I give my eye tooth and my right arm. But in Cheryl's story, we didn't get the final ending of it. There was the good news was that her husband did get the badly needed kidney. Now, the other kidney Was that good or bad, or what happened there?
Both of the kidneys fail.
They both had problems.
They both had problems, and that's why he was on dialysis.
I got you. Okay. And so then your brother unfortunately passed away, but was a donor unbeknownst to you, and that's how your husband got his kidney. Now, what happened to the other parts that were available? He saved some more lives, didn't he?
He saved some more lives. In Louisiana, there was another gentleman with the kidney. There was a lady in Mississippi with the lungs. And in Florida, the heart, the intestines, and the pancreas.
Mm-hmm. So
in Mississippi also the liver. I'm sorry, I forgot the liver.
Now, here's one. I'm going to break this down. During the time your husband was on dialysis, what was his quality of life?
The first year, it was not good. We had to adjust.
Yeah.
We had to adjust. It was an initial shock. It was a lot of grief because his life changed. He was he thought was a healthy individual, but he was physical. He was involved in church activities in the neighborhood, with the kids, with school, just very active. And that just shut everything down because when you're on dialysis, it's 3 times a week, 3.5, 4 hours a day, every other day.
Wow.
So it slows down your activity.
Did he do this at home or he'd have to go to the hospital?
No, he went to the dialysis center at West Jefferson Hospital at the time.
Every day?
Every other day, 3 times a week.
Okay. And for how long, did you say?
It would last 3.5 hours. He would go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Okay. Okay, so
3.5, 4 hours
yeah. After
your day, and then your body would get readjusted and
uh-huh.
have a day off, and then you would go back on the dialysis machine.
Now, after the first year, did he get his strength back a little bit? Or?
Oh, yeah, he was. He got involved with teaching. He loved children, so he did some teaching in the Jefferson Parish Schools. He was involved with the church program, the athletic department, so that kept him busy. The kids loved him. So after the second year, the third year, everything was fine. And the end of 2000, and matter of fact, the year 2000, November,
uh-huh.
he wasn't feeling well at all. And he went back to his doctor, and they told him his creatinine was very high. They did some tests and told him his kidney was rejecting. So he was placed in the hospital and getting weaker every day.
Okay, now, had he had the operation, the transplant yet?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, he was like 3.5 years into
the
transplant.
Okay, that's what I was.
Yeah,
so how long was he?
3.5 years into transplant.
What
he had the transplant in 1997.
Yeah.
He went to rejection
November
of 2000.
Okay, so he went through dialysis about four years, and then he got transplanted in 97, and then in 2000 it started rejecting, right?
Started rejecting.
Okay.
November of 2000.
And the other kidney started had a tumor or something, right?
The other one of the kidneys had a tumor.
Oh, wow. So
and, it was discovered in December of 2000. But at that time, he was weak. We talked about it, and he said he was tired and didn't want that.
He didn't want to have an operation on the other kidney?
He didn't want it. No, he didn't want it because they would have to remove that tumor.
Uh-huh.
And he was weak. He was very weak. In a 2 month period, he began to lose weight. He was very sad, and he told me he was tired. And from what I experienced with people that's ill, when they say they're tired, I just knew something was going to happen. I didn't want to accept it, but somewhere inside of me, I knew something was going to happen. And on January 9th, 2001, he passed away. And, of course, we talked about it. He said that when and if anything happens to me, I want you to donate everything that's good.
Yeah.
And we donated the corneas, and it restored sight to two
people. So he was able to be a donor as well?
Yes, he was.
Oh, that's incredible. So he got, after the transplant, he got a good, what, 3-4 years out of it?
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how old was he when he passed?
He was 45.
Wow. And... golly, Lana, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, most importantly, like Cheryl and I said earlier, the decision to be an organ and tissue donor is very, very important to discuss with your family. That's the most important thing that we can
push over and over again is talk to your family about your decision. Make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
And sign up in that donor registry if you're interested. Also, next month is Donor Awareness Month. April is Organ Donor Awareness Month, and that's nationwide. So we encourage anyone that is interested to contact us if they would like something done within their church, within their school, within their community, any type of corporate group. We can do some type of corporate partnership project, which we really have found a lot of success with. So please contact us at LOPA if you guys are interested in becoming involved with organ and tissue donation promotion.
Okay, you can actually go to LOPA.org. You can go to DonateLifeLouisiana.org. You can call, if you're listening on the Internet, too, 800-521-GIVE. That's the number, right?
Yeah, that's the number.
Lana and Cheryl, great. You guys are great. And Cheryl, God bless you for telling your story, and I know you get to tell a lot of people now.
Yes, we do, together.
Yes, you go out and you're a team.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you so much. And you guys got my heart, I'll tell you that.
Oh, good.
It's 1:57 and a half on the Clancy Show. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk to Dave Dixon. That's right after news from ABC and our weather from Mike Jansen of ABC 26. Looks like a decent couple of days ahead of us, warming up. That's the good news. We'll be back with more stuff on the Clancy Show. WGSO 990 forever and ever AM. Are you looking for an intimate New Orleans dining experience? Try La Petite Grocery, a charming uptown eatery featuring fine French cuisine with a South Louisiana twist. Chef Justin DeVillier creates unique, flavorful dishes in his ever-evolving menu. And enjoy happy hour Tuesday through Saturday, 5:30 to 6:30 with 50-cent martinis. La Petite Grocery, 4238 Magazine, that's near Napoleon. Open lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday. You can check out the menu at LaPetiteGrocery.com.
Williams Funeral Home, located at Hickory Memorial Garden Cemetery on Highway 41 in Pearl River, takes special care of your loved one's funeral and final resting place. Every need is provided for at one place, at one time, lessening the overwhelming, emotional, and difficult time for the family. Williams Funeral Home is a full-service funeral home providing pre-need planning, cremations, and a perpetual care cemetery. Owner Danny Williams has been serving St. Tammany since 1965. Williams Funeral Home, our family serving yours.
This is Bob from C. Crane, the maker of the CC radio. For years, we've received requests for a radio like our CC radio, but with the short wave band. Now that's a real order, to give you the best AM, FM, and shortwave all in one radio. The good news is that radio is here now. It's called the CC Radio SW. Most radios come preset, so there's no way for you to adjust for different conditions. Not so with our new SW model. If you know what it means to turn a knob or two for the best performance, you should check out the new CC Radio SW. It has all the knobs and switches to obtain maximum signal strength and audio clarity. If you appreciate high-performance radio, then give C. Crane a call. You won't find a company more dedicated to radio.
Order your CC Radio SW from C. Crane for just $149.95. Give C. Crane a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or online at ccradio.com. C. Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
From the North Shore to the South Shore, the East Bank to the West Bank, Jefferson to the River Parishes, from Orleans to St. Bernard, WGSO, New Orleans.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The governor of New York, Eliot Spitzer, according to the New York Times, has told his staff that he has been involved in a prostitution ring. Spitzer is scheduled to make an announcement any time now. We get the latest live from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Chuck, prosecutors here in New York late last week broke up a high-priced prostitution ring known as the Emperor's Club. And the New York Times reports the governor is identified in court records as a client of a woman he might have known as Rochelle. Spitzer crusaded against Wall Street fraud and prosecuted prostitution rings as New York Attorney General, but his first term as governor of this state has been filled with scandal and setbacks. He had pledged to bring ethics back to Albany. Spitzer is married with three children. Chuck?
ABC's Aaron Katursky live. Average gasoline prices in the U.S. are expected to hit an all-time high tomorrow, according to the AAA. Crude oil prices have been trading above $107 a barrel today. The AAA joins oil analysts in saying some Americans will be paying $4 a gallon for gasoline in a few months. A controversial missile defense system opposed by Russia, proposed by President Bush, was discussed with Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk, ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Poland has already agreed to let the U.S. place missile launchers on its soil, 10 of them, capable of shooting down attacks by rogue powers such as Iran. But the Prime Minister requested and got assurances the U.S. will now also help modernize the Polish military as part of the relationship.
President Bush is sending Vice President Cheney to the Mideast Sunday to try to get stalled peace talks moving again. Some U.S. soldiers in Iraq getting sick from contaminated water provided by KBR, a military contractor once part of Halliburton. And Byron Dorgan, senator from North Dakota, a Democrat, charges a cover-up.
When we got the information from the Halliburton Corporation whistleblowers, Halliburton denied it, and so too did America's military.
The Dow is down 143 points, the NASDAQ down 36, and you're listening to ABC News.
Adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
The omega-3 fatty acids, zinc, flaxseed oil, digestive enzymes.
Sundance's coat was shiny and glossy.
His breath was better.
Most of the hair has grown back on her belly.
Tons of energy. No more bad smells.
You won't believe how happy a dog will be.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I walk to work, I run around a lot, you know, living in New York.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
Like to jog. I have been known to sleepwalk. I sleep with my socks on. Is that weird?
His Match.com username is Buddy20, and you can email him right now. Go ahead. We guarantee if you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. Visit Match.com for details.
Mexican trucks on American roads. Controversial. Congress has stripped money from a project allowing trucks from Mexico to make deliveries on U.S. highways. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters urges Congress to reconsider.
It is hard to understand why anyone would choose a time like this to slam the door on growth, to slam the door on profits for U.S. businesses and opportunities for U.S. truckers.
In return, American trucks get access to Mexican roadways, part of the North American Free Trade Agreement. A major shift for the Southern Baptists. Their president and other top leaders say their denomination has been too timid on environmental matters and has a biblical duty to stop global warming. The conservative denomination is the largest Protestant group in the U.S., 16 million members. A space truck scheduled to blast off tomorrow to deliver sort of a bus. Space Shuttle endeavors to deliver the first part of a huge Japanese lab to the International Space Station. The first component is the size of a double-decker bus. And also to be carried aboard the shuttle, a giant robot that stands taller than a house. Its name, Mr. Dexter, because it's so dexterous. The machines to allow NASA to cut down on the number of dangerous spacewalks needed at the station. Endeavor astronaut Julie Payette says no task would be too big or small for Dex.
Once Dexter is fully connected, it has the ability to change out very small pieces of the equipment on space station.
But Dexmeister is still just a bot, says the astronaut, won't be able to replace people completely. This is ABC News.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby. Saw their ads on my TV. Thought about going, but was too lazy. Now instead of looking fly and rolling fat, my legs are sticking to the vinyl and my posse's getting laughed at. FREE. That spells free. CreditReport.com, baby.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
From the WGSO Weather Center, here's your weather forecast with meteorologist Mike Jansen of ABC 26.
It's a mild and mostly cloudy Monday with a few spotty showers in the forecast as well, so keep those umbrellas handy. Look for those highs this afternoon in the upper 60s. We'll be cloudy tonight with some scattered showers, even an isolated thunderstorm in the forecast. Lows are expected in the low to mid 50s. I'm ABC 26 Weather Now meteorologist Mike Jansen on WGSO 990 AM and WGSO.com.
Currently 68 degrees at Armstrong International Airport. It's 68 in the French Quarter. It's 64 degrees in Covington and 64 in Slidell.
So you need protection for your auto, boat, motorcycle, commercial building, or business? Then call Sherry at 985-643-2482. Call A Photo Insurance Agency today.
O'Neill's Auto Mart, Old Spanish Trail, has the car for you. It will not be because of price that we won't do business. O'Neill's Auto Mart, Old Spanish Trail.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Ed Clancy Show on WGSO 990 AM and at WGSO.com. Join in the conversation. It's a free call on the North Shore at 661-2929 and on the South Shore, 556-9696. Now, here's your host, the looming legend, the nearly famous WGSO's own, Ed Clancy.
When the next history of New Orleans is written, there has to be a chapter devoted to Dave Dixon. Without such a chapter, no history of the Big Easy would be complete. You can come up with all kinds of lists dealing with movers and shakers and music and food and political leaders, good and bad, with saints and sinners, with people who made a difference, large and small, spanning generations, shaping a skyline. You do all that, and Dave Dixon has to be in the mix, way up there. At my age, 83-year-old Dave Dixon was telling me, I weep easily. He says this as the Saints, an NFL franchise he brought up to this city, were preparing to play their first home game of the 2006 season in the Louisiana Superdome, the giant mushroom of a building that Dave dreamed into reality. I did not write that, folks. That was written by Pete Finney. It's the foreword of a new book called The Saints, The Superdome, and The Scandal, an insider's perspective written by Dave Dixon. Dave Dixon, step up to the microphone and say hi.
Oh, hi, Ed Clancy, man. You're one of my favorite people.
You're kidding.
Oh, no, I kid you not. Besides, I love the name Clancy. I'm married to a girl named Shay.
You're married to a Shay.
So that's a little bit of Irish.
You're a Shay. Well, listen, if my being Irish helps, that's great, and you're so kind to say that. Thank you.
Good.
Now I guess you're hoping for an easy interview, huh?
Well, no interview at my age is easy.
Tell the truth. You're hoping for softballs.
Yeah, of course. I've always liked softballs. The only thing is, softballs drop, and I always hit on top of the softball.
No, you're more in tune with footballs. I know
that.
Listen, Dave Dixon, this is sort of an autobiography, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's a little bit of autobiography, but mostly the events that I participated in New Orleans in getting the Saints of the Superdome in here and all the things that had to be done to accomplish that. And there was so many complex things, I can't believe it all. And also, the scandal, I had to take three visits to the lawyer's office to get all the libel out of it.
Oh, wow. Holy cow!
Well, I was pretty mad at some people. Would
you say that getting the Superdome built was sort of like nailing jelly to the wall?
It was a little bit. You know, it was touch and go a lot of times. But we had a real champion on our sideline, Coach John McKesson.
Oh, absolutely.
I say Coach John McKesson, Coach Governor John McKesson.
Yeah. Well, you know what? What I want to do here is kind of go start from the beginning.
Sure.
And then we'll build up. I don't want to tell the whole book here. Is it okay if we talk about the scandal?
Oh, do whatever you say.
We could talk about the scandal today. I'm going to talk a little about the scandal, but I don't want to give the whole book away, you know.
Sure.
But I think people know the ending.
Yeah.
They see it on TV every
yeah,
night.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's the deal. You were born where and when?
I was born in New Orleans. I'm a New Orleanian to my toenails.
Okay. Where in where about?
Truro Infirmary on Britannia Street.
And brought up where?
I was brought up in the Carrollton area, and then my father did well in business, and we eventually moved to Palmer Avenue just off St. Charles.
And where'd you go to school?
I went to Robert E. Lee School on Carrollton Avenue.
You're kidding.
And then Fort Jay High School, and then Newman High School, and eventually just before World War II, I ended up at Georgia Military Academy over in Atlanta.
What did your parents do? What did they do?
Well, my father started the old Great Southern Box Company, and my father was a bright, able guy, and he worked very, very hard. He died quite young, and he died at age 45 from smoking, really. He had lung cancer and cancer everywhere from it. I hate tobacco companies with a passion.
Did you ever smoke?
I did, and I was so stupid to have done so, and it's very, very addictive, and I, I broke it, oh, maybe 40, 50 years ago. I don't know, but a long time ago.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's like almost not ever having smoked, I guess.
Well, no, I still remember, and I know that if I ever took even one puff, I might be addicted all over again. So I don't mess with it. And I feel so sorry for anybody who is addicted, because it's a terrible addiction, and it's very, very strong and very destructive.
Yeah, tell me about your mother.
Oh, my mother was an angel. My mother died. She was in her 80s, I guess, when she died. But she was just a wonderful, wonderful woman, and very smart. Had all kinds of literary achievements at the University of Mississippi up in Oxford, and she moved to New Orleans with my father when he went in the box business many years ago.
Did she remarry?
Yes, she did. She married a gentleman named Lewis Clay, and good guy. My stepfather, I liked him, and he and I got along well.
Well, that's unusual.
Yeah, no, we got along fine.
Well, that's great. What was your first business you got into out of school?
Well, my first business, I went to work originally for a Great Southern Box Company.
Oh, you did? Okay.
The company my father had founded, and I lived in New Orleans doing that, and then in Jackson, Mississippi, and traveled a good bit. Eventually, I decided to go into business for myself, and I did a couple of different things, and I was in the plywood manufacturing business, making V-groove pre-furnished plywood. I was one of I was the second pioneer of that in the country, and we did well in that. And I was sitting in my office one day when I got a phone call from Mayor Morrison, whom I knew, and he said he wanted me to be the chairman of a major league sports committee, and he was talking about building a stadium out on the lakefront to get Major League Baseball in here. And I said, "Chep, look, you've got the wrong location and the wrong sport." I said, "We have a great stadium already in existence in football, and I really believe the National Football League is on its way eventually to even surpassing Major League Baseball, which I think has happened." He said, "Well, would you be my chairman and pursue football for me?" And I said, "Let me think about it." And I thought about it for about 2 or 3 hours, and I called him back and said, "I'm on. Put me on. I'm in there."
So it became from a baseball stadium to a football.
Football, yes. Stadium. And
did you think that Tulane Stadium was adequate at
the
time?
Oh, I thought Tulane was very adequate, but the problem was that it was antiquating somewhat, and it was maybe at that time too large a stadium. It seated around 80,000, and football really in those days liked to have about 50,000 to 55,000.
And I got you. Okay.
And so, and Pete Rozelle and I inched it up some to closer to 70,000 for the Superdome. But the Tulane Stadium was a fine old building. It was in the site of many great football games. I was sorry that Tulane de-emphasized so many years ago. They de-emphasized in 1949. It was done kind of secretly, I think. I didn't learn about it for several months, and yeah. When I learned about it, I said, "Well, they can't ever be a big winner again." And I don't like to lose. I like to win, and so I'm gonna go buy season tickets at LSU, which I did.
Dave Dixon is a pioneer not only in plywood but in other things as well, including, football stadiums, tennis leagues,
yeah,
football leagues. We've got more.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back with Mr. Dave Dixon on the Clancy Show from WGSO 990 Forever and Ever AM.
Hello, North Shore!
It's the Extreme Dealership Makeover going on now at Hood North Lake Chevrolet in Covington. And during an Extreme Dealership Makeover, you're bound to run into a problem. Inventory at our current location on Highway 190 must go before the move. Come in now for 0% financing for 60 months on every new 2008 Silverado and Avalanche. And 1.9% financing for 60 months on all 2008 2500 and 3500 Duramax diesels. Plus, get 2.9% for 60 months on select GM-certified vehicles. This is a limited-time offer, so you must act fast. These are extreme savings for an extreme makeover since 1929. This is our community and our Chevy store for our North Shore. So come now, because as we build, you'll save. At Hood North Lake Chevrolet on 190 in Covington. Shop us 24-7 at TeamHoodChevy.com. It's going to be huge!
Plus DTL with approved credit through GMAC.
Jack's Number 12 is not just a discount cigarette and liquor store. They have the lowest prices in town. I just said the cheapest cigarettes in town by law. You won't find any place selling cigarettes cheaper than at Jack's Number 12. Not only does Jack's Number 12 on Pontchartrain Drive in Slidell have cheap cigarettes, but you'll also find a selection that's second to none on your favorite wine, beer, and liquor. Make the drive to Jack's Number 12, located at 4438 Pontchartrain Drive in Slidell, and save like never before.
Grio's Restaurant on Florida Street in Mandeville has a terrific and satisfying express lunch daily, Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hamburger steaks, seafood pasta, and veal parmesan. Grilled chicken, Caesar salad, po' boys, and more. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, enjoy the best single bite on the North Shore. Grio's barbecue oysters, only half price. On your birthday, eat free with a valid ID. Call by February 12th for Valentine reservations. Grio's open Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Grio's for a delicious treat.
Why should you buy a CC radio? This is Bob from C. Crane, the company that makes it our focus to bring you the best radios in the world. Radio is all about sound, and at the heart of every CC radio is a speaker that makes voices come alive. When you turn on a CC radio, you can hear every word clearer than you've heard in a long time. It has excellent AM reception, and it's simple. There's 5 memory buttons on top of the radio, and when you push one, the radio doesn't tip over. This means we built the CC radio from the ground up, or actually, from the radio listener up. Give our CC radio a try for the best listening.
When you order from C. Crane, you always get the same 30-day satisfaction guarantee we've offered for 25 years. To order your CC Radio Plus for a new, lower price, give C. Crane a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or on the web at ccradio.com. C. Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
He's the bridge over troubled waters or swampland. To speak with Ed Clancy, call 661-2929 North Shore or 556-9696 on the South Shore. Say, hey, Ed, what's happening?
Who that say gonna beat them Saints? Who that?
Oh, when the Saints go marching in.
I guess we couldn't continue the interview without hearing that.
Oh, yeah. Great name for a football team. Great name.
Now, who came up with that, by the way?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
God bless
you. And it was one of my few strokes of genius in my lifetime. It was perfect the moment it jumped into my mind.
Where were you when it jumped into your mind?
Oh, I don't know where I was. I might have been down at Preservation Hall. You know, who knows?
Oh, I got you. Well, I thought maybe you woke up in the middle of the night and said, Eureka.
Yeah, I woke up and said Saints.
Okay. Talking to Dave Dixon, author of The Saints, The Superdome, and The Scandal. And we'll get to The Scandal, folks.
Sure.
At some point. Okay, so you were, Shep Morrison and you got together and talked about a stadium, right?
Yeah, we did. And then eventually John McKesson came into office as governor, and I went to see him. In Baton Rouge, he had come to a little reception that I had before the before a preseason game we put on between the Green Bay Packers and the old St. Louis Cardinals. And he whispered in my ear, he said, "Mr. Dixon," he says, "I am a tremendous football fan." He says, "Come see me if you need some help." And, I'd heard that before from other political people and, who hardly had ever been to a game, but, it turned out to be the real thing with McKesson. And when I came into his office, I knew immediately I had a kindred soul. Boy, he was bemoaning the fact that it was so difficult to get people to get behind improving education in our state. He said education is the answer to all of our problems, particularly racial problems, he said. And I knew he was right immediately. And, mm-hmm. And he did as much as he could while I was in office. He was in for two terms in 8 years. He improved LSU tremendously. LSU's a pretty darn good school academically these days. And those great improvements began with John McKesson. He was a great man. And without him, we really wouldn't have gotten the Superdome built, definitely. And we probably wouldn't have, well, we'd already gotten the franchise, I guess.
Yeah, well, now, you know, a lot of people call you the father of the Superdome. And they say, well, if it wasn't for Dave Dixon, we wouldn't have the Superdome. And
wasn't for John McKesson, we wouldn't have.
Right, I knew you always say that. And there's another thing, too, that gets said, and it's in your book, about how much the thing costs. We always call it $163 million, but you say that's not true, right?
No, it wasn't. The Superdome actually cost the construction of it, about $93 million, and then there was $20 to $30 million in land costs, and so it was around $113 to $123 million. But the newspaper at the time, for some reason, decided to call the cost, including the interest on the bonds during the whole all the years of existence. So, you know, you buy a house for $300,000 or something, and you have $100,000 taxes to, not taxes, but interest on your mortgage to pay.
Right.
You don't call it a $400,000 home. You call it a $300,000 home.
And it cost you $400,000 to buy it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so it was only $113,000 instead of $163,000.
$113 million, yeah.
$113 million, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But okay, so the governor came in, and you guys had to go to him, right?
Oh, yeah. He was tremendous. He really turned everything over to me. He called me one day, and I had told him, I said, Governor, at this site, this place really screams for a great architect. And I said, I know you have a lot of, promises and interests that you have to take care of with other people. But I said, if we could get a really great architect here, it would be a great thing for our city and state. He called me the next morning. He didn't say anything. He called me the next morning. He said, Dave, what would you think of a committee of deans of architecture and engineering from Tulane and LSU to advise us on the selection of architects and engineers? I said, my God, it'd be tremendous. And so we did. We had a committee of deans, and the deans really were the ones who selected Buster Curtis to do the thing.
Now, which came first, the awarding of the franchise to New Orleans from the NFL or the decision to build the Superdome?
It came almost simultaneously. The awarding of the franchise came first, but it was announced at a time when the Superdome vote was right on the horizon, and it gave a great, great, great stimulus to the Superdome vote. In fact, the Superdome vote carried overwhelmingly.
Okay, now
it was the number one item in the state as far as support was concerned. Got more votes than anything.
There were. There's one story that I hear you tell, and I just heard it actually maybe about a year ago for the first time. But I know you tell it in the book. Tell the story about Hale Boggs and Pete Rozelle.
Oh, well, I had a guy named David Kleck who was a political racial advisor to me, and he also was a political racial advisor to Hale Boggs. This was back in the days of different times. And so I said, David, I want you to go to Washington and talk to your friend Hale Boggs and my friend and tell him that 15 and 9 is 24. There are 15 NFL teams right now, and they want to merge with 9 AFL teams. When they merge, that no longer means expansion into New Orleans because they have an even number of teams. They don't need to expand. And we had been promised the 16th franchise. So tell Hale not to trust anybody at any time and to make certain it's absolutely nailed down. Well, to show you how Hale...
Of course, we're talking about Speaker of the House, Hale Boggs.
He didn't do a thing. He didn't have it tied down at all until the very last second, when Pete Rozelle could not call his attorney or go talk to a bunch of owners or anything else, and Pete Rozelle had to absolutely commit to it. And it was a masterful, masterful performance by Hale Boggs. I'm so proud of him the way he did it, and he and Russell Long both, but it was Hale who really did the yeoman's work.
Of course, we're talking about the Speaker of the House from New Orleans, right, Hale Boggs?
Yeah, he was a majority leader.
Majority leader at that time? Okay. Well, here's the deal. What is it he held over Pete Rozelle's head?
Well, he didn't. He just said they were my eyewitness. I sent him back up the day of the vote because I didn't trust anybody. And I said, look, I know you're tired of telling him this, but tell Hale 15 and 9 is 24. No need for the NFL to expand, and don't trust a soul. And so I got this eyewitness report. It was about 45 minutes before the vote on the day of the vote. And Hale Boggs and Pete Rozelle were walking the rotunda, and my guy was with them as the only witness. And Rozelle said to Boggs, he said, Hale, I just don't know how to thank you enough for everything you're doing for the National Football League. Boggs turned to him seemingly incredulous and said, "What do you mean you don't know how to thank us enough?" He said, "New Orleans gets an immediate franchise in the National Football League. Isn't that our deal?" Apparently it hadn't been tied down, because Roselle said, "I'm going to do everything I can to bring that about." That was no yes. And so Boggs said, murmured, "The vote's off." And he turned and looked like he was rushing back to his office. And my eyewitness said that Pete Roselle looked like Buddy Young chasing Boggs. He caught up with him in a flash and turned him around ever so gently, stuck out his hand, said, "It's an absolute deal. You can count on it."
Well, now
Boggs then said, "It better be, or you will regret it the rest of your blankety life."
Oh, now let's remind people.
Absolutely masterful. If Roselle could not go to his owners, and as proof that it was no commitment at all by the NFL, when Pete got back to New York, he caught hell from some owners who didn't want to expand.
Well, I didn't. Now I don't know if we missed it, but the actual vote was about the antitrust exemption, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and
but that was tantamount to the franchise, because it was known that it was understood, really, that we'd help the NFL and they would help us.
Yeah, NFL wanted to have be exempt from the antitrust laws. And,
exactly.
Hale Boggs held it in his hand. That's a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Don't go away. We're talking to Dave Dixon on the Clancy Show from WGSO 990 Forever and Ever AM. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the Superdome and the Saints themselves and the scandal. It's all happening right here on 990 AM.
Hey, New Orleans in the North Shore, this is Steve Malzberg. It's great to be part of WGSO 990 AM and WGSO.com. Catch the Steve Malzberg Show every night from 10 to midnight here on WGSO 990 AM. I'll have the top newsmakers of the day and biting analysis for you to chew on. You've seen me on the Fox News Channel, MSNBC, CNN. Now you can hear me, Steve Malzberg, every night from 10 to midnight here on WGSO 990 AM.
The difference in a tire store is the people who are running it. At Slidell Easy Pay Tires on Pontchartrain Drive, the people are the difference. Slidell Easy Pay Tires has been making a difference since 1965. From tires to rims, brakes, alignments, tune-ups, AC work. Slidell Easy Pay has been here and will be here when you need them. Remember, it's the people who are working for you in the store. Come see the difference at Slidell Easy Pay Tires on Pontchartrain Drive.
Hi, this is Tony Lamont, chairman of the fundraiser for the Children's Museum of St. Tammany. Join us Sunday, April 27th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Casting Center in Mandeville for a celebration of pure imagination. There will be music by Four Unplugged, live and silent auction items, a diamond dig, and a cow raffle brought to you by the Peretti family of dealers and Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Call 892-5258 or 898-0024 to purchase tickets. Sponsored in part by North Shore Kiwanis, Franco's, Junior League of Greater Covington, and WGSO 990 AM. So join us for a celebration of pure imagination.
Buying a good used car is all about having the right information and facts. And if it's a Honda certified used car, well, it just got a whole lot easier. Because now you can find out the history, mileage, and the price of the Honda you're looking for without leaving your home. Simply go online and search Google or Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make the right choice. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Give an abused child a voice in court, and you could be the winner of a 2008 Pontiac G6 sedan donated by Brian Harris Autoplex in Slidell, or other exciting prizes. Only 2,500 tickets will be sold for $25 each. The winner will be drawn March 16th at 8 p.m. at Chef Soiree. Winners need not be present. To purchase tickets, call 985-893-2570 or log on to www.casacararaffle.org. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Give a child a powerful voice in court. Give an abused child a CASA.
He apologizes, but doesn't say for what. New York Governor Eliot Spitzer is the target of an investigation that involves him allegedly being involved in a prostitution ring. Spitzer's made a public announcement. We get the latest live from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
ABC News confirms that Spitzer is the target of an investigation linking him to a prostitution ring, Chuck, but Governor Spitzer moments ago said nothing specific.
I have acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family,
and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong.
Spitzer spoke from his office here in Manhattan with his wife by his side. The couple has three children. The New York Times reports Spitzer has been identified in court records as client number 9 of a prostitution ring known as the Emperor's Club that prosecutors here in New York say charged as much as $5,500 for an hour of sex. Chuck?
ABC's Aaron Kuchersky live. New York Governor Spitzer is the former Attorney General of the state. His first year of his term was filled with scandal, but has lately seemed to be on the rebound. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Now, it's time for the local news from the WGSO Newsroom.
990 AM News. Good afternoon, I'm Jude Young. Federal court rulings in different parts of the state are causing great confusion when it comes to how much money homeowners can receive for damage to their properties as a result of the 2005 hurricanes. Here's more from WGSO's Terry Easley.
Federal judges in New Orleans have ruled that the amount of money Hurricane Katrina victims can recover from their homeowners' insurance policies is limited by the amount they received from the National Flood Insurance Program. But federal judges over in Lake Charles have ruled that Hurricane Rita victims can potentially collect the full value of both the flood and wind policies, meaning they could end up with payouts totaling more than the value of their homes. Multiplied across thousands of homes, the court ruling on whether homeowners' insurance policies and flood insurance policies should work together or independently are worth big bucks to a lot of our listeners. We'll keep an eye on the situation and let you know which ruling is going to rule the day. Terry Easley, WGSO 990 AM News.
As you all know, this past weekend was the time to spring forward, setting your clocks ahead 1 hour. Well, this week is Leap Week across the state of Louisiana, as key advancement testing takes place this week at public schools across the state. Fourth and eighth grade students having to pass the LEAP test to advance to the next grade, and high school students having to take the GEE test in order to earn their diplomas. We certainly hope those test scores are high. One thing we don't like being so high? Gas prices. And they're still rising. Here's WGSO correspondent Dave Brannan with another Prices at the Pump update.
AAA reports the average price of regular in Louisiana is at an all-time high today of $3.14, up almost a penny from Sunday and 25 cents higher than a month ago. Nationwide, regular is averaging $3.22, tying the previous record high set on May 24th of last year. Meantime, the average price of diesel has hit new record highs. Here at home, diesel is averaging $3.73 a gallon, while the average U.S. price has climbed to just shy of $3.83. Dave Brannan, Baton Rouge.
Also in the state's capital, Bobby Jindal getting approval on parts of his agenda during the second special legislative session. Amongst the measures passing through first hurdle House committees, tax breaks for businesses and private schools, as well as spending plans for the state's $1.1 billion surplus. And in WGSO sports, 37 good minutes of basketball weren't enough for the Lady Tigers in the SEC Tournament Championship game. LSU outscored by Tennessee 10-1 in the final 3 minutes as the Vols pulled out a 61-55 victory in the conference tourney title game. It remains to be seen whether LSU will earn a number one seed in the women's NCAA tournament. The field will be announced next week. This is WGSO News.
From the WGSO Weather Center, here's your weather forecast with meteorologist Mike Jansen of ABC 26.
You can probably get away with some long sleeves or a light jacket today. Highs are expected in the upper 60s under mostly cloudy skies. But don't forget that umbrella. We may see a few spotty showers with us during the afternoon and as we head into the evening. It looks like our chance for rain does start to go up overnight. We'll watch for scattered showers, maybe even an isolated thunderstorm mixed in. Other than that, we're going to be cloudy with lows in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Mike Jansen on WGSO 990 AM and WGSO.com.
Currently 68 degrees at Armstrong International Airport. It's 68 in the French Quarter, 66 degrees in Covington, and 66 degrees in Slidell.
You're wasting a perfectly good afternoon on the Ed Clancy Show, here on WGSO 990 AM and at WGSO.com. It's not a total waste of time if you help Ed out. Just call 661-2929 on the North Shore or 556-9696 on the South Shore. Say, hey, Ed, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you. We're talking with the father of the Superdome, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Dixon. And by the way, I've got somebody wants to say hi. Told me to say hi to you, Dave Dixon.
Who's that?
Ken Trahan.
Oh, Ken Trahan, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. He's the man here, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't know that, but I'm delighted. And he's an enormously capable guy.
Oh, absolutely. He's the chief cook and bottle washer around here, right under the general manager and the others.
Oh, boy. I'm the second cook and guy at our house.
That's true. I want to get into that in a second. So as we left, we were talking about the involvement of Governor John McKithen.
Yes.
And I guess at this point, 1967 or so, you guys are gearing up to get the franchise, and of course we heard the story about Hale Boggs, the majority leader in Washington, and how he lowered the boom on Pete Rozelle to get that franchise for the city of New Orleans, and so then everything was on. But then there was some articles in Time Life magazine. Tell that's the scandal part.
Well, this
is
the old Life magazine, publication of Time Inc. And a great publisher, Time is as good as they come, and they relied on some stringer operating out of New Orleans rather than sending their own people down here, and this guy apparently saw a mafioso behind every lamppost in the French Quarter. Mafia had already gone clean in New Orleans. They had turned legitimate and either disbanded or turned into legitimate enterprises. Anyway, but this guy linked a guy who I knew very, very well, whose name was Aubrey Young, was classified in the governor's office as a ninth string gopher, a guy from McKithen's home area that he was felt sorry for. I was down on his luck and had a little drinking problem, and so McKithen gave him a job out of the goodness of his heart. And then one day, this fellow receives a phone call from a friend in New Orleans and asked him if he would mind introducing a friend of his from New York to Edward Grady Porton, who was head of the Teamsters in Baton Rouge. And so Aubrey says, yeah, I'll do that, sure. I have a few drinks with Porton every now and then. And so he took him to this visitor to Porton, and here's a million-dollar bribe being put on Porton, which to recant his testimony that it set Jimmy Hoffa to jail, and he immediately turns it down and says, and call the FBI and booted the guy out of there. Well, Aubrey is now, Aubrey Young, whom Life magazine had described as a key assistant and confidant to John McKithen. He was a ninth string gopher. Aubrey goes on a 6-day drinking binge and comes back and blurts out the whole story to McKithen, who was equally horrified, said, Aubrey, I'm sorry, man, I got to fire you and I got to call the FBI, which apparently he did. Anyway, Life magazine saved this story for about 6 or 8 months. It happened in January of 67, waited it until the election was the campaigning was a little bit on in the fall of, in September of 67, and broke three stories, each week promoting Aubrey from one job to another. Finally made him a key assistant and confidant of the governor, which he wasn't anything close to that. I know it with my own eyes and my own ears. Mm-hmm. I don't think I know it. I know I know it. And so there was no truth whatever to it. But by association, John McKithen was then being considered as a vice presidential candidate to run with Hubert Humphrey. And Humphrey, I guess, even though this is about as accurate as saying George Washington was in the mafia or something, Humphrey told McKithen, I guess, look, I'm sorry, John, this publicity just is too bad, too rough. And so he dropped McKithen as a potential running mate. Well, McKithen and Humphrey would have won the election because that was the year of the big breakup where George Wallace campaigned and Nixon came out with a Southern strategy and so forth. Well, McKithen would have saved the National Party for the Democrats in the South, and they would have won the election, and Humphrey would have died in his second term, and he had cancer, and would have been in his second at the end of his second year and of his second term. John McKithen would have become president of the United States.
Wow!
And this is just a tragic thing for McKithen. He never really quite recovered from it, and there was not 1 ounce of truth to it.
And Richard Nixon would have been a footnote in history.
Right? Oh, Richard Nixon wouldn't even have existed in history. And gee whiz, I was out of the country at the time. I was in Johannesburg, South Africa, with Lamar Hunt putting together World Championship Tennis.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know about it until I got back. Otherwise, I would have run screaming to John McKesson not to do what he eventually did, which was he went up to see the managing editor of Life, and I would have advised strongly against that because this was such a momentous error by them. They were either terribly careless and were not going to retract the thing, or they really were out to get McKesson for political reasons, which would have been a disgrace to a great company such as Time Life.
Well,
I don't think it was that at all. I think it was just an error by this particular reporter who didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Did the Superdome or Dave Dixon get named in this at all?
No, not really. We weren't involved in any way, but it hurt me as much as it hurt McKesson, because I love John McKesson. He was a great guy, and he was my great friend. He and I were very, very close friends. And as I say, I don't know that I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I know that I know what.
There you go.
And it just was a sad, sad thing for a great guy, for a great man, and really probably for the country, too. We would have been spared Richard Nixon, for goodness sakes.
Well, speaking of governors and sad things, you were close at one point with Edwin Edwards.
Well, I was in this respect. David Duke would have ruined our state, and it would have ruined the business I was in. I was in the antiques and paintings business in the French Quarter, and heavily dependent upon visitors and conventions and trade shows and so forth, and which had become a gigantic industry because of McKesson. And so we would have had to, it would have been a disaster for us. So I'm sitting in my office one day trying to figure out how to beat David Duke, and suddenly an idea jumped into my mind, and I knew it was so good I started laughing because I knew the election was over. And my sons came running in. They knew nobody was in my office with me, and they said, "What's old Dad laughing about?" And as he popped, as he lost his senses all of a sudden, and I said, "No, I'll tell you what I'm going to do." And I told him that I was going to run these commercials in Central Louisiana, North Louisiana, along these lines. And I said, "It's folks, I'm Dave Dixon, and I want to tell it to you just the way it is. It's goodbye LSU Tigers, or it's goodbye David Duke. You can take your choice. Because if David Duke is elected governor of Louisiana, how can the LSU Tigers possibly attract the best recruits in America and Louisiana to come to Baton Rouge to play football for the Tigers? It's goodbye, Tigers. Goodbye, Duke. David Duke will ruin the LSU Tigers."
And whoa.
And Edwards called me. And he said, "Dave, I'm going to be in New Orleans tomorrow. I want to show you this latest poll." And he comes by my office and he rolls out this Mason-Dixon poll. It's one of those rollout things. And he said, "Here I am. I'm 2 percentage points behind this clown." And he said, "Today I'm 250,000 votes to the good." And he said, "We're going to win by 350,000, maybe even 400,000. He actually won by 384,000. And he said, "You know what this tells me, Dave?" And I said, "No." He said, "This tells me that 250,000 bubbas, rednecks, and ex-Ku Kluxes have decided that they like the LSU Tigers a whole lot more than they like David Duke."
Clancy Show, WGSL. Don't go away. We're coming back and talk to Dave Dixon about tennis, about the USFL, and about Edwin Edwards. All on WGSL 990 forever and ever, AM.
This is Ken Trahan for Premier Honda, I-10 at Bullard Exit. Check out the all-new 2008 Honda Accord LX for $19,819. It gets a wow 31 miles per gallon. How about a Honda Pilot with auto power windows and locks, cruise control, CD, XM radio, alloy wheels, and a wow 36 miles per gallon at Premier Honda New Orleans? Come in and ask for the Kenny Deal. That's a free navigation system with a new car. Shop 24/7 at PremierHonda.net. Visit Toyota New Orleans for February specials, like a new 2008 Tundra Crew Max for $23,995 with power windows, power locks, tilt, cruise control, and CD player. You won't believe Toyota New Orleans' deal on the new 2008 Toyota Camry LE for $18,495. It's loaded with power windows, locks, tilt, cruise, and CD. Toyota New Orleans, located at I-10 at Bullard. Ask for the Ken Trahan deal, the Kenny deal, for a free navigation system with a new car. Call 504-940-0000.
I hear that a lot. Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Lamb, author and professor at the NYU Medical Center. I want to keep my patients healthy, so I tell them to eat right, exercise, and take Ester C to bolster their immune systems. Ester C provides immune protection for up to 24 hours, and Ester C is non-acidic. So if you want a vitamin C that's gentle on your stomach, I recommend you take Ester C.
Bolster your immune system with Ester C, the better vitamin C.
Welcome back. You know, for 25 years, he's never rolled over about fighting crime. Welcome, McGruff the Crime Dog.
Thanks, Joy. I got two words to make streets safer. Coffee cake.
Yeah, the crook eats the poison coffee cake. And
No. You invite neighbors over for a cup of coffee to discuss the problems on your street and what to do about them.
But still, a 10-pound cake dropped on a bad guy's foot could help.
Couldn't hurt. Going to WePrevent.org could help, too.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
If you're on the North Shore, South Shore, East Shore, West Shore, or Gulf Shores, you're hearing The Ed Clancy Show on WGSO 990 AM and on your web at WGSO.com. To join in the conversation, call 661-2929, that's North Shore, or 556-9696 on the South Shore.
Always like that song. It's 2:40. Well, it's Saints go marching in. You know what I mean? We're talking to Dave Dixon, Clancy Show, Saints Superdome, and the Scandal. And Dave Dixon, okay, we've taken us through just about everything except the opening of the Superdome. I got something to tell you. Did you know that yours truly and WGSO, the original version on the other frequency, were the first people to actually attend, throw a function in the Superdome?
I'll be darned.
Did you know that?
No, I'm not sure that I did.
Yeah, we ABC was celebrating its ABC Radio was celebrating its 50th anniversary. Oh, I take that back. It was 1280 was celebrating the 50th anniversary of that frequency. Now, it used to be WDSU radio.
Yeah, WDSU.
And then it was sold and became WGSO radio. And then I went to work for them a year later, and they were celebrating the 50th anniversary. So we had it in the Superdome. It wasn't even finished. We were up in the rafters, and there was no roof on it yet.
I'll be darned.
It was still building. This was 1975.
Uh-huh.
And they hadn't completed the roof yet.
Uh-huh.
And so we had champagne. We had white tablecloths. We had waiters. And we had a whole bunch of people up there. Just so I guess so they could say that we had the first function in the Super Bowl.
That was great. Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah. And it's something that
I remember.
Well, that's great. I didn't know anybody did, and I rarely have mentioned it. But it was just an kind of an exciting thing, a very strange thing.
It was.
Because we could have fallen off.
I said, what are those nuts doing? Get them out of here!
Yes. And it was all thanks to you and to John McKithen, I'm sure. Now, tell me about, we're talking about governors, Edwin Edwards, and of course he has, the last time you and I talked, by the way, Dave Dixon, was, you know who the co-guest on there was? It was Edwin Edwards. I don't know if you remember that. It was back on the old 1350. And you guys were joking back and forth.
Yeah.
And I think he was in the middle of getting ready to be tried this last time around. What are your thoughts about this gentleman who is now serving
Edwin
time?
Edwin Edwards?
Yeah, serving time.
Oh, my thoughts are nothing but great sorrow. You know, I don't know what in the world got into him. He got so, but because he really is basically a good guy. And I know people might find that hard to believe, but Edwin Edwards didn't have a mean bone in his body, and he just was a good guy that got so many temptations put before him and finally just collapsed on them. And For a guy to be in prison that many years, I think is ludicrous. I guess the prosecutor just wanted to teach everybody a lesson and so forth. But I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope that it, sooner or later his torture is over, because I knew him well. He and I even made a couple of trips together, and I had a very great affection for Edward Edwards. Just a good guy, and so humorous. He told me some jokes that were so funny. I can't relate them, but I'm telling you, when he started in with that patois that he already has, by the time he hadn't even got to the humorous part yet, I'm laughing so hard I can hardly move, you know.
So you want to see him get out now?
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah. Can I ask you an unfair question?
Sure.
All right. Do you think that he was railroaded? Do you think that he was
guilty? I think the length of the sentence might have been the problem.
Okay.
I think to that extent he was, I don't know whether railroaded is quite the right word, but I think the length of the sentence was unfair.
Okay. All right. Now we've got time to talk a little bit about a couple of other things you pioneered, and that would be, first of all, championship tennis.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, if you can.
Well, you know, I had played a little tennis myself, not very much, but a little bit, and I knew what a great game it was, and I knew that potentially, I was just looking around for events, maybe someday to put in the Superdome, or maybe a new arena that we hope someday would get built, and so forth, and tennis has always fascinated me, because it's a great game, and it has a lot of great tradition to it, and it is a one-on-one entertainment, and it's far and away better than the best prize fights you could ever find, and as far as true athleticism and competitiveness is concerned. And we figured that if we could do certain things, that tennis would become a major spectator sport rather than just sort of a medium sport. And Lamar Hunt and I started World Championship Tennis together, and we really did revolutionize the game. We introduced color into it in some instances, we took it on a regular basis, like the PGA Tour is at golf. We had a tennis tournament practically every week somewhere, moving around with eight of the best players in the world, and we did reasonably well with it, but. Man, that's a terrible job. I had no idea how difficult it would be to do that kind of traveling, just constant traveling, because I was on the road with them a lot. And finally, I sold my interest to Lamar, and I came back home. I said, "Man, let me out of here." But
wow.
But tennis is a great game, and I'm glad that we had a little a little shot in the arm, because I think it is a great game.
Interesting. Would it? Of course, it's all over the place now.
Yeah,
you know. Although it's being edged out by World Series of Poker, I hate that. But what about women's tennis? Did you guys get involved in that at all?
No, we did not. But women's tennis is just another version of tennis, as is women's golf. It's
uh-huh.
It's pretty good.
It's had a great long lasting life.
Oh yeah, and I think to an extent. Women's tennis might even have a greater appeal than women's golf, even though more women play golf than tennis.
One thing that did not have a great long-lasting life was the United States Football League, but you were there at the inception, right?
Yes, I was the founder of it, and
uh-huh.
I put it together. I developed all 12 of the, sought them out and convinced them, and we had a 12-city league, played in a different season than the NFL, and I think that the NFL was tried in many ways to do us in, but really I think that our own mistakes did us in. I sold my interest the day really that the thing was officially organized, because I thought the owners were not being careful enough in observing strict spending rules.
Did this USFL put you in bad stead with the NFL?
No, not really, because it would have put me in bad stead with them if I had testified against them in court. But I really didn't have anything to testify that would have been worthy. If I had, I probably would have gone to court with it. I just abstained from taking either side in that.
What court thing are you talking about?
Well, when the USL eventually, sued the NFL on antitrust grounds.
Oh, okay, that's
won
right.
Won the suit, and then the jury said that they didn't know how to resolve the question of damages. So they just said, well, the judge will tell us what to do. So they put $1 in damages just to let them know that there was a monetary number.
Uh-huh.
The judge left the $1 where it was. You don't think that he was friendly to the NFL?
Oh my goodness! So technically, the NFL is in violation of the
they were in violation of the antitrust laws, and a jury found them guilty, and they only had to pay $1 in damages. Well, it was treble damages, so that was $3.
Oh, okay.
And the interest was 76 cents over 2 years or something like that. And so the NFL paid. I have a copy of the check still. $7.26 or something like that.
$1.76.
Yeah.
That was your
$1.76.
Dave Dixon, the name of the book is The Saints, a Superdome, and the Scandal. He's going to be everywhere signing books. So I guess all you got to do is to go to Pelican Books.
Pelican are almost to your neighborhood local bookstore, like, for example, Octavia Street and Maple Street and places like that. It's everywhere now, and I understand it's selling very well. And if you have a book that you've already bought, it's not signed, bring it to where you had it, and I will eventually get it and sign it for you.
Hey, listen, if you want to know where he's going to be, go ahead and email me, ed@wgso.com. Hey, coming up, Bernie Cyrus and All About Elvis, WGSO 990 AM.
When you're in the market for a home renovation, call on Harmony Construction. Listen up. Work only with a contractor that has a 7-point commitment to excellence like Harmony Construction. Harmony Construction commits to complete every project on or under budget. When you agree with them on a schedule to complete a job, it'll be done by that time. Harmony Construction will communicate effectively throughout the term of the job.